Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. All right, so Asa and I have already finished Luke Cage. It released on Friday.
Whoops.
Yeah, no, that was just kind of like my Saturday afternoon into early evening and also this morning.
Mine was, I went to the doctor Saturday morning. I got my medicine. I started Luke Cage. Okay, I'll watch like half today, half tomorrow. That way I can do other stuff. But then when I crossed that halfway point, I was like, okay, well, I'll do a lot of it like today and then some of it Sunday. Well, I'm already so close to finishing. So mine was just Saturday.
Yeah, I
went to bed like midnight.
See, I probably would have had it finished on Saturday, but I took a nap in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, I also took a break to, like, make dinner.
Sleep is for the weak.
Yeah. And the nap went a little bit longer than I had intended on. I ended up going to sleep at probably 2 a.m., though. And then I woke up at 8 o'clock this morning because that was me waking up late, mm-hmm. because my internal clock and everything is that way. So, yeah, and then I just kind of watched it until I finished it this morning. And I only had, like, 4 episodes left this morning. I contemplated staying up last night and finishing it. But no, it was, I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, this is the spoiler-free review, so don't worry, we're not going to spoil anything here for you. I really, really enjoyed it. I definitely thought it was a huge step up from the first season. And it has one episode that's up there for my favorite episode among all Netflix Marvel series.
Yes.
Overall, though, I give this a fantastic review, and I think if you were any amount of a fan of the Marvel Netflix stuff, you should watch this show. All right, Asa, what's yours?
I liked it significantly less than you did.
I know.
I overall enjoyed it. The stuff that they did really, really well. It also has one of my favorite just, like, fanboy, I squealed out loud in excitement at a thing that happened in that same episode. But there is also just, like, for me, it was paced really, really badly. Like, there was a couple episodes I was just playing Fortnite on my Switch because nothing was happening that I thought was interesting. And I know I didn't miss anything important.
Because it's still...
We still have the same problem for me, or I still have the same problem with these Netflix shows of they give us, like, a great eight episode season in 13 episodes instead of like, okay, now we have the A story and then halfway through, okay, that's resolved. Now we're going to move on to the B story unnecessarily. Now it's just like they just dragged A all the way out.
And see, like I thought there was a pacing issue, but my opinion of it was different. I thought the first 3 episodes were really, really densely packed. The first episode in particular. The first episode was so densely packed with story and plot information that they could have put into later episodes. And once we got to, like, episodes, I don't know, probably 8 or so, that's when, like, the actual content of the episode seemed pretty light.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely went a lot more action-heavy towards the middle of it, and I guess that's cool, except then there was a lot of, like, travel is what it felt like. If that makes sense to anyone.
Like, they just have to get to the next thing, and they're like, how do we pad this out?
And then, yeah, once we get through that, like, we get to the episode that I really, really loved, and then the last, like, 4 episodes are, again, really densely packed.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like the pacing was off, but it wasn't in such a way that, it definitely, in my opinion, didn't suffer from the same problem that the other the Netflix series have.
And like I said, like, I really liked Bushmaster. I loved him. I loved Mariah. I loved the performances. But there were so many things that they really, really focused on that I just did not care about. And whenever I'm like, whenever Luke Cage comes on screen and I'm like, oh, it's been like 20 minutes since we've seen him. I didn't like it. It had its issues. I think if you have enjoyed everything that Marvel has put out, like, TV show wise, I think you'll probably like it. It's worth watching. I'll definitely say it's worth watching if you like these other Marvel Netflix shows. But it's probably pretty safely in my bottom half.
I mean,
especially with how much I like, and apparently I also am like the opposite of most people's opinion, because I loved the second season of Jessica Jones.
I thought everybody else loved the second season of Jessica Jones.
See,
too.
I saw a lot of things like, oh, this is, you know, the redemption after, because a lot of people really like season two that I'm seeing. IGN hated it. They gave it like a 4, but the main reason they hated it is because Cottonmouth wasn't in it.
Oh, you're talking about season two of, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, season two of Luke Cage.
Okay.
Like, they gave season two of Luke Cage like a 4-something. And wow. I'm like, why?
That's, because it's been certified fresh, and like even the IMDb user scores are in the 8s and 9s.
Okay. I've just been going off of like comments. Like, I haven't been looking at actual reviews. IGN was the only one that I saw.
Okay.
Because they did like a ranking of where they had rated all the previous seasons, and I saw that 4 point whatever, and I was like, dear Lord, it wasn't that.
No.
Like, I didn't, because I thought this was, they did a better job with this than Iron Fist, which bums me out, because I
absolutely
loved that. I love Iron Fist, and I wish we could have gotten a better season. But yeah, I mean, if you like the Marvel stuff, watch it. You'll probably enjoy it. Just for me, there was a lot of, if we ever end up doing like a spoiler one, then I can get more into it, because right now I can't defend any of my opinions without like ruining things.
Right.
But there were some storytelling decisions that they made that I very much disliked. There were multiple instances of laughably bad green screen. There is a moment of CGI that would look like it belonged in like the 70s Star Wars claymation. Just awful.
Yeah,
for 2018 standards, I cannot believe that this is the final product that we got in these scenes.
And it's like, yeah, no, we can't talk about it without spoiling. But there were two scenes in particular that I thought looked really bad, but still worked well.
The scenes themselves were great. It totally ruined it for me. Mm. It would be like that scene in The Last Jedi with the throne room and the fire and all of that. Like, what an awesome scene. But if you go back and rewatch that and it's done just really terribly and the CGI looks awful, it's like, man, that was an awesome scene. I wish the effects deserved. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, no, and I honestly would probably put it in the bottom half of the Marvel Netflix series.
But at the same time, like, something has to fill up the bottom half.
Exactly. It's what we talked about before. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that being in the bottom half of the Netflix series is not a bad thing.
It's still, for me, I enjoyed this more than Iron Fist.
Yeah. I mean, Iron Fist is like,
honestly, I think Iron Fist might be the only one that this beats.
And I mean, that's,
maybe Defenders. I think I might have to rewatch Defenders, but this might be better. I might have liked this a little bit more than Defenders.
And because the thing is, like, Iron Fist is the only season, or the only Netflix show that I didn't love.
Right.
The only Netflix Marvel show that I didn't love. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was a fun, like, you know, popcorn show.
But boy, what we could have had.
What we could have had. Especially, like, okay, no, I can't get into it.
Iron Fist is a character in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, I have 3 of his action figures. Thanks for reminding me.
That's why, but yeah, no, it makes so much more sense why we get the Iron Fist glowy fist instead of, you know, it actually being on fire.
Except
Luke Cage has confirmed that for me.
In the Iron Fist show, didn't we get, and I meant to ask you this earlier when you brought that point up, didn't we get a scene of, like, a previous Iron Fist running around with 2 fiery fists?
Yeah, but those were, like, but that was in that, like, grainy black and white footage.
Yeah.
So it was silhouetted. It wasn't like we didn't get a full-on fight scene.
No, I mean, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but if that happened, like,
why aren't his fists on fire? I think it's just because
I think we might be able to progress to that point.
Yeah,
is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, which maybe, but hopefully it's in the time that they can figure out how to do fire.
Yeah,
there was a lot of fire in this season.
There was a lot of fire in the season, and a lot of the scenes weren't done well with the fire. But anyway, in other Marvel news. Spider-Man sequel. We can stop calling it Homecoming 2. It will be Far From Home.
Sorry, I got distracted because it is now pouring down rain.
I heard it.
Yeah, that's been a thing the last couple days in Cape.
I've been inside a lot.
Yeah. No, like earlier, I actually lost power earlier.
It flickered for me yesterday, but I didn't.
Yeah, yesterday was fine. Today I lost power. Huh. Like, while I was watching Luke Cage, I was very upset.
Don't you do it.
But anyway, yeah, so Spider-Man sequel. It's going to be Far From Home. Tom Holland actually gave away the subtitle for this one.
Which I love the way they did that. Did you see the Instagram post?
No.
So basically he did an Instagram post at a Comic-Con, I think in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, guys, you know, I'm at this convention. You know, it's a bummer. We don't have a lot to talk about. Like, we just don't have any huge announcements for the movie. I know people are really upset, but hey, what do you expect? Like, you should be surprised there's even going to be a Spider-Man movie to still remain somewhat spoiler-free for events. and then him, like, picking up the... And then he's like, but I have the script here. And he holds up his tablet, and it's Spider-Man Far From Home on it. So they were playing off of the, like...
Tom is really bad about screwing things up like
that. He's really
bad
about leaking things, so that's how they presented it. And that's fun. Yeah. I enjoy that. I get it was a calculated move done by people in, like, a boardroom. But I don't care. He's so lovable. I just want to be his friend.
And he's almost Dalton's age.
No, he's almost Allie's age.
I think he is Allie's age.
Yeah, because he's 22, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Oh, whoops.
Yeah, no, he's Tom Holland is much older than like
he's
I
definitely not a high school. He is not a high school sophomore.
No,
but boy, does he look it.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
Maybe by the time he gets his like fifth movie, he'll look like a senior.
I do wonder if they're ever gonna get like if they're just gonna recast Peter when we need an adult version because he's not gonna get any taller.
No, let's put some hair on his face. I don't want him to not be Spider-Man.
I don't either. I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man a whole lot. But
they finally got it.
They really nailed it.
As much as I love Andrew Garfield, they finally got it.
I mean, in fairness, I thought Tobey Maguire was a great Spider-Man. It's just they didn't write dialogue for Spider-Man well in those movies.
This isn't the show that we can do this on, but I like Tobey Maguire way more than I liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
I liked them both.
I liked Garfield okay. Like, he did better as Peter Parker. But as Spider-Man, I wasn't super sold.
See, I was actually the opposite. I thought that Andrew Garfield was a way better Spider-Man than mm-hmm. Toby was.
But boy,
I thought
Toby
was a way better Peter.
Because Andrew Garfield was way too cool to be Peter Parker.
Yeah, but that's the thing that Tom Holland is a handsome guy, but he's not like... It's not like they cast Chris Evans. Because that's what it kind of felt like for me with Andrew
Garfield. With Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. It's like, man, you are not nearly awkward enough to not... For me to ever believe that you were, like, actively bullied and, like, a loser.
I mean, and that's
great. Because that's what Peter Parker is.
And that's my point. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think Andrew Garfield was a great Peter, mm-hmm. but he was a phenomenal Spider-Man.
I liked him as, like, for the writing that they gave him as Peter. Like, I thought he was, I don't know.
I mean, like...
Maybe I'm getting it backwards.
Because I'm now confused on what you're saying.
Yeah,
well,
I am too.
Because I liked Andrew Garfield as Peter, but he shouldn't have been Peter. But, okay. Like, the performance we got out of him in the character that he was miscast as worked for me.
Because, see, what like, in my, like, there's a difference between, like, it's kind of like Batman versus Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Spider-Man has to be played differently than Peter Parker.
Right.
They have to be different. And the problem that I had with Tobey Maguire, and I don't know why we're getting into this on this show. But
I said this isn't the show we can do this on.
I know. I'm sorry. But, like, Tobey Maguire, like, his Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
was not quippy.
At all.
Spider-Man has to be quippy. Mm-hmm. Andrew Garfield, whenever he was Spider-Man, was quippy, mm-hmm. but then he wasn't awkward and weird enough to be Peter. Tobey Maguire was awkward and weird enough to be Peter, and I would buy that he was the high school nerd.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point there. Let's just move past it though. New Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie in development. This is possibly a reboot, and we might be getting some more information out of it this fall. A lot of people are thinking that it might have something to do with a Nickelodeon TV show that's releasing. Yeah.
I still haven't seen it, so I can't make a judgment.
Is it out?
Yeah, it's.
I didn't think. Well, I thought that released this fall too.
I thought it's... Don't look that up.
I
thought it had come out because... I don't know why I thought it had come out other than just, like, it feels like we've been talking about it for a really long time already.
Yeah, I don't think it releases until this fall.
I don't know. I would just do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 2018.
Got it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. I wanted to like the Michael Bay movies more than I did.
Oh, Michael Bay is still going to be a part of the movie, by the
it's
way.
It's his production company, but he's not, like, directing it or... directly yep. tied to it, but like
it hasn't come out yet. September.
Okay, so
and it's also Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right. But yeah, I wanted to like him more than I did.
I really liked him.
The first one was okay, but it was an April O'Neil movie.
Yeah.
I finally watched the second one relatively recently, and I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, but there was something about it that I just didn't love.
Yeah.
Maybe because they raced through a bunch of things.
I thought the second one was a super fun popcorn movie.
Yeah, it was fun, and honestly, I don't need like an Oscar-worthy performance out of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Yeah. I don't need my TMNT to be held in like super high regard as like high art.
Yeah, I don't need Citizen Kane and then TMNT.
Right.
Like, yeah, no, that's...
Whereas like, you know, you can make an argument that The Dark Knight is just a great movie that happens to have a superhero in it.
Yeah.
I don't need that out of TMNT, but I don't know. There's just something... And I have nothing on why, but there was just something holding me back from really, really loving that second movie. Because by all accounts, I should have. Other than it was paced really, really bad. Like, they just rushed through so many things.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Because I love Bebop and Rocksteady. I liked that there was more of a focus on the turtles.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There was just something about it where it's just like, it's like the opposite of Justice League for me. Where it's like, I'm watching Justice League, like, huh, I'm actually really enjoying this. That's weird.
Yeah, and I still don't understand why you liked that movie as much as you did.
And everything from Out of the Shadows, I'm just like, man, there's a lot here that I should really love, and I'm just not. It's just not clicking.
Hmm. Maybe it just needs a different day. Maybe rewatch it and see what you think.
I don't have Amazon Prime anymore.
I have it on Blu-ray.
I think it's on Hulu.
I had that. Well, yeah, I got Hulu now.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Hulu made me mad because the first thing I saw when I logged on today was watch The Golden Circle, but it's through HBO because I guess HBO and Hulu have a deal now, and I was like, anger.
Does that mean I can watch Golden Circle?
I mean, if you have HBO Go, probably.
I do. I mean, I have this movie in 4K.
I don't have a 4K Blu-ray player.
I do, and I will watch this movie again with both of you. Please come over to my home.
I'll let you borrow my HBO Go account now. Don't worry.
Because I want everyone to watch this movie.
If you give me your HBO Go, I'm just going to get caught up on Silicon Valley before I watch anything else.
So just come over. All right. But anyway, so yeah, new TMNT.
I don't know if I want a reboot or not. Like, I feel like they've done pretty much... I don't know what they do now with a third Turtles movie because we've covered Shredder, we've covered Krang. Dimension X? I kind of hope they don't do that. Oh, actually... Okay, so great idea. Put them in, like, feudal Japan.
No!
Like, send them back in time.
Dalton, hit him. Stop him.
But get it right this time.
You think I'm going to hit him? You know how that's going to go for me?
I just needed you to slap some sense into him.
He's going
to
treat me like it's feudal Japan. Like the violent ones.
I mean, I'll be entertained.
Yeah, so will I.
All right, so anyway.
I can't swear on this show.
Nope. Disney has outbid Comcast. Surprise, surprise. They put up $71.3 billion, which beat out Comcast's first bid of $65 billion. And Wall Street is expecting Comcast to come back with another counteroffer. It would not surprise me. A lot of people are speculating that Fox wants to get $85 billion, which is what AT&T got from Time Warner to absorb that. So, yeah, Fox has won that extra money. And I would still not be surprised to hear that, like, Comcast is going to get in trouble for insider trading, because I don't know what company in their right mind would go into a bidding war with Disney at the moment.
I mean, but hey, I mean, Disney's fallen on hard times. They're shelving the Star Wars stories because... it only made like $340 million.
It was such a good movie.
I loved the Solo.
God, have you seen it yet?
No. Man, I'm part of the problem.
No, it's so good. Yeah.
But again, it's not like I'm... it's this stupid thing, and it's not a thing we can get into, but like the remake Star Wars The Last Jedi nonsense that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're saying that the reason Solo did so bad is because of how much people hated The Last Jedi. Which is stupid.
No, because I hated Last Jedi and I loved Solo.
Yeah, but they're saying people actively like didn't go and see. Like, don't get me wrong. The reason I haven't seen Solo isn't because of how much I hated The Last Jedi. There's just been Deadpool 2 came out, and on the day that I could go see a movie for cheap, I would have rather seen Deadpool 2.
I really think that Solo suffered because of when it released.
On top of all of the the well-documented production challenges.
Yeah.
Like, that very much did not inspire confidence. Like, that's why I was very surprised to hear, like, no, it was actually, like, really, really good. And it's like, ooh, it had a real rocky go of it.
Crap out
of
that movie.
It was so good.
And it's not like I'm trying to, say, oh, no, it's a terrible movie because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, it's solid. Yeah.
Like, honestly, I really think that a lot of it's, and we keep talking like it bombed.
No, yeah, it only made $340 million.
It's the opposite of Batman v Superman. Where it was just like, this is a bad movie, but it made so much money.
Yeah.
But like, again, it made $340 million.
This is a good movie that made butt money. It just didn't make a butt ton of money.
It just didn't make a B.
Because, and again, I really, really think it had a lot to do with 3 weeks before this movie came out, we had Infinity War. A week before this movie came out, we had Deadpool 2.
A week after this movie, Incredibles 2.
Exactly.
I still haven't seen Incredibles 2.
I haven't either.
We need to get on that.
And then this weekend, Jurassic Park 2.
Jurassic World, Lost
Jurassic
Kingdom.
World,
Fallen
Lost
Kingdom. Something.
The new Jurassic movie came out this weekend. So, yeah, it's just, right now it is a bad time to try and be releasing a movie because those movies, Deadpool 2 and Infinity War made an insane amount of money. Just ludicrous. And I was looking at this, Deadpool 2 is the third Marvel superhero movie in 2018 to eclipse $300 million domestic box office.
Which is hilarious. Because there's only been three of them.
Yeah, three out of three.
they're batting 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Guardians 2.
And we're only...
Guardians 2 came out last year.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Guardians. It was what other...
Black Panther.
That was it, Black Panther. And yeah, Black Panther, Infinity War, and Deadpool 2.
And we're 2 weeks away from Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yep.
Which that one is apparently projected below what Disney was hoping for, but it's still projected to beat the first Ant-Man movie.
Which is really all they can hope for.
I mean, but I don't know what Disney's expectations are with these movies, but if it's enough that now they're kind of maybe not focusing on the Star Wars stories as a thing. Which, when I said that, as a joke, Disney's on a downswing, now's the time to strike, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Because they're still making, they're still got a bunch of movies in the pipeline. Infinity War 2 is going to make $1 billion. Star Wars 9 is going to make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Just without blinking an eye.
Yeah.
So, but that said, we're talking $75 billion. That's a lot of money. Just a stupid amount of money. I'm not saying neither of these companies can spare it. Just that's the kind of money that they will actually question. If this is a $500 million thing, F it.
pennies.
That's pocket change. An executive will skip out on a bonus. No, he won't. That'll never happen. But no, this is where they actually
have
Disney to
Park people a raise that month.
They actually have to strategize and figure out, okay, what are we doing to make sure that we can afford this worth an investment? And I honestly I'm not super hopeful that if Comcast does make a counteroffer, I hope Disney beats it because I said, for strictly selfish reasons, no, I'm not looking forward to the future of, Exxon, Verizon, Chipotle being the only company in America we got in Parks and Rec. But mm-hmm. Disney hides their evil at least.
Right.
And I would so
far they've been benevolent. And honestly, I don't like the idea of Comcast owning anything to do with a TV production.
Right.
If Disney is buying 21st Century Fox, that means that they are buying more properties to make movies out of and TV shows out of, adding to their massive repertoire. Comcast is now branching into another business where they can gain a larger hold, in their offerings.
Right.
Because if Comcast owns 21st Century Fox, Comcast can make sure that they're the only cable provider that gets those TV shows.
Yep.
And that's a horrifying future. So, yeah, I really, really don't want to see, and Comcast having almost a controlling share of Hulu.
That actually, so that is a nightmare. Someone, I don't know if it was one of the kind of funny people or what, but they thought, they brought up an interesting point of what if this merger goes through and Disney ends up buying out Fox, which buys out the company that has a huge stake of Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be possible for them to, instead of launching a Disney streaming service, they just add all of their stuff to Hulu and rebrand that?
We actually have, like, we had talked about that, like, the first time this, or when Disney was in talks of buying 21st Century Fox, I could very much see that Disney would not do, either they would sell off all their shares in Hulu,
mm-hmm.
which I don't see them doing, or, yeah, they would just nix the Disney streaming service, because why introduce a service that competes with something else that you have,
right?
Like controlling stock,
especially
in.
When you have such a huge install base.
Yeah, exactly.
That you could just be like, "Hey, it's probably going to be an extra $5 a month," or even if they do, just keep Hulu separate. But like, and through your Hulu account, for an extra $4 a month, you can get access to all of the Disney, like all of the Disney streaming stuff.
I could absolutely see that. Basically, do what Hulu does with like HBO and Showtime and yep. stuff. Yeah, I could absolutely see that happening. But yeah, I still think, like, even $75 billion or 70, they're at $71.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, I think, easily has more than enough to throw around over Comcast,
mm-hmm.
just because I think Disney has more revenue.
Well, Comcast isn't exactly throwing their money at, you know, customer service or maintaining their actual internet service or improving anything like that.
Or their employees.
If anything, they're saving money because they're saying you can only use, like, 10 gigs a month. And oh. Sorry, we're the only place that provides internet in your area, so pay us an extra $100 for that.
Yeah, no, Comcast is a terrifying company. I do not want
I don't understand. I do not understand how the internet thing doesn't violate the antitrust laws, because they all just basically agree to stay in their own zones.
Yeah. No, it's straight up mafia rules
yeah.
with internet, like ISPs, except for like Verizon and AT&T can just do whatever they want because...
They're Verizon
different.
And AT&T.
Yeah.
Apparently, I've just went on, like, how much does Disney Corporation make each day for mm-hmm. kicks and giggles? $36 million a day.
So yeah.
Stupid.
So much they make in a day. Yeah, Comcast, you're real cute. All right, I'm going to do
See, I was
going to
say,
opposite.
Look and see how much Comcast yep, makes in a day.
I'm just going to put that
Which,
Google
honestly,
search.
Is probably a substantial number, too.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them being able to compete with Disney in that regard.
I hope not, because don't get me wrong. Like, basically... For me, this sale is happening. Someone is going to buy Fox. And right now we have evil and evil. But Disney's the less evil.
Significantly.
For me. So, like, I'm rooting for Disney.
Because right now, like, Disney, if Disney buys 21st Century Fox, even if they have a monopoly on all, like, TV and movie entertainment, like, AAA stuff, even if they gain that monopoly, it's still in their best interest to keep us happy. Because thanks to YouTube and other like avenues for watching like or consuming media and Netflix, they like we have alternatives
until they buy those two.
Yeah, yeah, but also
Exxon, Verizon, Chipotle.
But also, and granted, like this might not really mean anything, but there is potential for the 21st Century Fox and Disney merger to get stopped. Like at the government level.
Oh, yeah, this could not, like, and the Comcast one, too.
No,
like,
I was about to say, if Disney and 21st Century Fox, for reasons I mentioned earlier, like, that's one company consuming another company of the same like,
mm-hmm.
I don't see, like, if that one's up in the air, like, the government might stop that one. I do not see how Comcast and 21st Century Fox acquisition could possibly go through.
Well, let's be honest. It all comes down to whether or not Disney and Comcast are going to throw extra money in that sale to, you know, lobbyists and politicians to make sure that it goes through.
Yeah, like, but I feel like, because this is, well, no, it shouldn't be. It's probably not different. Stupid corruption. Anyway.
That's why. Vote for Asa to get Superman powers. And it'll all be fine. It'll all be fine.
Batman and Captain America will be in the same movie.
You'll all be safe. You'll all be happy. Or, no, I take that back. Y'all be safe. Y'all be equal. I don't care if you're happy.
No more guns.
Martial law.
No more anything.
I mean, you can have guns, but just like if I'm Superman and you misuse a gun, well, that's just not a smart idea. I'm not trying to take all your guns, but, like, I will melt you and them. Remind me of the really dark joke that I cannot say on this one. No, because we're talking about guns, and it reminded me of a thing that I read earlier this morning, and it's like, ooh, that's bad, but not
It's not cool. A nerd up joke.
Moving forward then.
But yeah, Acer for Superman 2020. It'll be on your ballot.
All right. And going from, you know, Disney making ridiculous amounts of money in Marvel, we have a possible 2020 release date for the Flash movie from the DCEU. Quote, if all goes well.
Oh, no, it's not.
It won't.
That movie won't happen. So I just started season 4 of The Flash. I think I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in. I
still haven't started it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm ahead of you on a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Neat. I'm glad I didn't ask you a question then.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
All right. But so I like Grant Gustin way more as Flash than I do the guy they got for the Justice League movie. Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
I liked him, and I would watch that movie, but I'm just holding on to that saltiness.
Yeah, Grant Gustin is in Flash. Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, this might be my favorite version of The Flash, because, like, I've fallen so far behind on the comics even. Mm. But, like, I love the team. I love the Star Labs thing. Yeah, there are some really blatant plot holes that are kind of frustrating.
JD's older brother hanging out all the time in various forms is awesome.
Nope, never mind. Okay. Spoiler, there was a thing about season four.
Yeah.
But it's... The DC movies are just so bad, and, like, I'm just not hopeful for any of them. I'll see them, but I'm just...
Yeah, I'm really
Begrudgingly. Like, I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman 1984.
I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how they manage to screw up what's a great franchise, because I feel like when the first Wonder Woman movie came out, WB kept their hands out of it, because, like, whatever. It's Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about Wonder Woman. Oh, that was a good movie and made money? We now care about Wonder Woman.
No. Oh, that made money? Oh, people actually have an interest in this thing. Let us take over.
Yeah.
To make sure that we can make as much money as possible.
WB ain't smart, guys.
Nah.
They really ain't. But anyway. So we're not going to get at the Flash movie, but there is potential for us to get a Flash movie in 2020. Potential.
Isn't the Shazam movie still happening?
Maybe.
We've got that press pic. We got that release of, or the leak maybe, of him in the costume.
Mm-hmm.
That was an image. I'm happy that they're making the Aquaman movie, because I really like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Aquabro.
That might also happen someday. But anyway, next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. You can check out the shop.
I'm just laughing because I spent my water bill.
Oh,
not
yeah.
My share of the water bill. The water bill for my house. I had so many books this week.
See, I thought you were talking about.
I was like, you don't have money for your water bill. Why are you laughing at that?
No. I just thought I was going to have significantly more money to last me through the next pay period, and that now I do.
See, I thought you were laughing about the news that's coming up that could affect.
Oh no,
them
I'm not
a
laughing.
Bit.
I'm not laughing about that.
One of those laughing because it's so sad. Not that they're in any trouble, folks. Villainous Grounds is doing great. They're awesome.
But to make sure that they're doing great, go buy all of their coffee, all of their comic books, all of their nerd collectible stuff. Support local artists because they got local stuff up there. And just talk to them because they're all awesome.
Yep, they're great people. And we love them.
And they will ring you up with a smile on their face because they're just seeing that number go up.
She did twice because I bought my comic books. She's like, oh, I have this Funko that's Hercules on Pegasus. Salt.
Sold. All right.
So quick. Ran up the stairs. I ran upstairs, Jesse.
I know. I heard. I got the story from you, and I got the story from Mary Jo.
That makes me happy.
All right. So DC Comics, they made some interesting announcements. They had some leaks that they then confirmed, and it's not great. So starting off with like some decent news, we complained a while back about they turned up some of the $2.99 titles to $3.99, and
yeah, all of the twice monthlies went up.
Yeah, they all went up to $3.99, and then basically the extra for that was that we were getting a free digital issue or digital version of that issue in the comic book. But then they decided to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, but they didn't lower the price back, so it's just still $3.99 with nothing extra. Well, they're fixing that, sort of.
They're adding something, Jesse?
2 extra story pages per book.
Okay, I guess 50 cents a page. That is not for nothing. Honestly, not taking anything else away.
Honestly, like, that's fine. It's
At least it's story pages.
Yeah.
Because, like, it would be real easy for them to be like, hey, 2 extra pages a month, but we're just filling it with ads. Yeah.
They're adding, like, the Marvel page that gives you the background on the character and the story so far.
Oh, is that one of the pages?
No, it's not.
He had the Jesse smile.
I thought he had the Jesse smile because he only told me part of the story beforehand because he wanted to drop that bomb on me on the air.
that would be smart.
Which is brave. Because I ain't got that much of a filter.
Yeah, I know you guys' reactions. That's why I made sure to tell you everything about this story. If I know it's going to get a reaction, I make sure to do it in the pre-show.
Because okay. I always say, why don't you save that? Because that would be funny. And, oh, because Asa and I like the F word a lot.
Yes.
That's a good one. Friendship.
Yeah, so.
What'd you think?
Oh, you almost got me.
So DC made a deal with Walmart.
Boo.
Yeah, they're releasing exclusive to Walmart.
Boo.
100-page giant anthology books.
Boo!
And, at first glance, it's not that bad because the anthology books are mostly, like, it's a collection of other comic books. Like, it's going to have various books from various writers and everything else that have already been published individually.
Kind of like the True Believers of Marvel that they do, where they're like, they'll, but it's, like, not a dollar. Like, they just give you a whole bunch of stuff at once.
Yeah, because I didn't see a price point on this, but I have to. I will bet money they're $10 a pop.
You said 100 pages?
100 pages.
Yup.
I will bet money they're at least $10 a pop. And they also, in part of this deal, they ditched the glossy pages. So I don't know how many people have opened, like, a DC comic book in a while. But, yeah, the inside story pages have, like, a glossy finish to them. They're printed on that.
Yeah.
As opposed to a more, like, papery kind of texture.
Okay, so I'm confused. So they're ditching the glossy pages for these 100 books, and, like, the rest of the comics will have glossy pages?
No.
Or just no more glossy pages?
No more glossy pages.
Because we're now making these $100, or
that
these
is correct.
100-page books. That's real dumb.
Yes.
I mean, that's not a huge deal, but, like, it adds that nice aesthetic.
Yes, the glossy pages are really nice. The only downside is, like, they're a little bit more prone to wrinkling, but that's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Like, if it gets hot or something like that, or if any kind of weather impacts it, like, yeah, the glossy pages are a little bit more predisposed to wrinkling.
Yeah, well, when they are crammed, and when they're bagged and boarded and just crammed where you can't get another comic into a short box.
Yeah.
They don't wrinkle no more.
That flattens out real good.
Because they can't.
But anyway, so yeah, they're ditching the glossy pages for these atrocious giant books is what they're calling them. And again, wouldn't be so bad if they were just these anthologies that you could only get at Walmart, and they're just a collection of, like, individual books. Whatever, not a big deal. Starting with Batman Giant number 3 and Superman Giant number 3, and I'm sure other ones are getting exclusive stories too. They're going to be exclusive books that you're not going to be able to buy individually in any LCS. It's only available inside the giant books. And Batman Giant,
which you can only get at Walmart.
Ugh.
This is so dumb.
Batman Giant number 3 will have the first issue of Brian Michael Bendis's year-long Batman run.
This is dumb.
So apparently he's getting a 12-issue story arc featured inside of Batman Giant, which you can only get at Walmart.
It would be less dumb if you would get the whole story at once.
But you're also it's not like this Batman story is 100 pages long each issue.
No.
You're just getting a little bit at a time.
Yeah, importantly, this is part of the anthology.
With a bunch of other stuff that we don't know what it'll be yet.
This is so dumb.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and I'm saying, like, when I say anthology, it's not like, you know, this is 6 of this week's books that have come out, like, compiled into here. I'm not even saying it's 6 books that have happened in the last year. I saw one of the books that are coming in the first Batman Giant anthology is a book that came out 4 years ago.
New 52?
I think it was New 52, but
yeah.
Either way, yeah, we're not getting, like, fresh new content. It's a lot. It's an anthology of old books, and yeah, it's stories that I guess they think are important or highly rated stories and stuff like that, re-releasing it, and again, if that's all it was in these anthologies that are Walmart exclusives...
No harm, no foul.
Whatever. Like, it's the glossy pages thing is kind of a bummer, but it's not a huge deal. But again, Brian Michael Bendis, this is his first time ever messing with Batman, and if you want to read that, which If you read, if you've read his Daredevil run, if you've read his Jessica Jones run, Brian Michael Bendis, if you've read any of the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, Bendis does dark and gritty, like street level people really well.
Yeah.
Like team books, eh. Events, eh. Street level dark and gritty hero, yes. Knocks it out of the park. If you want to read that, you've got to go to Walmart and buy Batman Giant number 3 and get a whole for $10 just to get your one issue.
And you have to hope you're going to get that. Because normally, like Villainous Grounds, if I knew that Brian Michael Bendis had a Batman book coming out, I would ask them to hold me a copy or order enough copies that they could just hold one for me on top of what they put out to the general public.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge deal. This book is going to go, like, it's going to be impossible to find.
Probably.
Because, like, scalpers are going to pick up all of the issues. Like, this is going to be a nightmare for the actual, like, comic book fan. Because not only, because anytime you have an exclusive, Dalton, you know this with action figures.
Yeah.
Anytime you make it, make anything a store exclusive, it's way too hard to find. Each individual store only gets a few, like, this is going to be stupid.
I'm
going
to counter it after you get done, because I'll tell you what I hope happens.
But the Verge says that 100-page books featuring a mix of new and reprinted material priced at $4.99 an issue.
Okay, that's not near as bad as I was thinking. I couldn't find that price point anywhere.
So $5 isn't bad, but yeah, like, if they had said, if this news story was Brian Michael Bendis is doing a year-long Batman book, they would have 12 issues worth of my money. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
If I could just tell Dave and Mary Jo at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, to just, like, get, like, hey, I would like to add this to my pull list. DC would get my money. I don't think they're probably not going to get my money here.
Yeah, if I'm in Walmart and I see Batman Giant number 3, I'll grab it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go there, like, hunting for it. I'm not going to get every issue. Like, I'm just going to grab it if I see it.
Yeah. And, yeah, and that's kind of how I'm at, as opposed to they have guaranteed money or maybe get it. And if I end up, like, you're going to have the people who really, really want it who can't get it. They're going to have to go online and buy it. But DC's not getting any of that money.
Nope.
Yeah.
It'd be the scalper's going to get the $50.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's a really, really dumb idea. And Tom King, who we've talked about before, like, he is the guy doing the Batman Rebirth run. He did Vision in, like, the Marvel...
The Visions?
The Visions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did the Visions in, like, one of the four reboots that Marvel's done in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, among other, like, critically acclaimed series.
Mr. Miracle, I heard, was really, really good, too.
Yeah, same. And Omega Men, apparently, was incredible. Yeah, so Tom King is getting a Superman run, a 12-issue Superman run, starting in Superman Giant number 3. Only way to get it. I don't care about Superman, but I love Tom King.
I'm really hoping that maybe in like a year, once or like a year after these wrap up,
they'll give us a trade.
They'll give us a trade. Or even just to be able to buy them digitally.
Yeah. Either of those would be fine. But, well, ish. I would much rather give Dave and Mary Jo of Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri my money.
Mm-hmm.
So they can order it.
Which, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, if they do a trade, like, I will order it through them.
Yeah.
But, like...
But if, yeah, my only other option is digital versus, like, giving Walmart money or giving money straight to DC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a bummer.
Yep.
It's a real bummer. So, yeah, that's a thing that's happening. I guess in other comic book news, I don't know why. I'm just
so
upset
dejected.
Yeah. Marvel has revealed Infinity Warps. This is going to be a series of one-shots focusing on combined Marvel heroes.
You hold your tongue, dum-dum.
This is stupid.
You don't get to call stuff stupid with that hair.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with Ace on this one.
Especially stuff,
buddy.
This kind of awesome. Like, have you seen the character designs?
No, I just heard the name.
The character designs are incredible.
You need to look at the character designs before you even judge it.
Particularly, I think you would really enjoy Arachnite and Weapon Hex. So yeah, those are two of them. Arachnite is Moon Knight and Spider-Man
combined. It's in the
combined.
It is.
Okay, good.
There's Ghost Panther, who is a Ghost Rider and Black Panther combined. Looks awesome. My personal favorite, Weapon Hex, which is X-23 Laura Kinney combined with Scarlet Witch. And then you've got Iron Hammer, which Iron Man and Thor.
This one low-key is might be my favorite.
It looks friggin' cool.
But like with the color and everything, it looks amazing.
Yeah. And then my least favorite, at least in the artwork that I saw, was Soldier Supreme.
Yeah, that's by far my least favorite one. Just because like the mask doesn't work.
Nope. Like the artwork he got for it looked real silly.
They had to give him something to remind us that it's Captain America mashed up with Doctor Strange.
And literally all it was
the mask. And they just went with
the
face mask, yeah. I want to see the full Arachnite because that looks...
That little
concept art looked incredible. This is one of those things where it's like, I say it now, I'll probably end up making myself a liar. I don't see myself asking for this issue, like these issues, to be pulled. But when we go upstairs and look around at what came out, I'll probably be like, okay, I'll grab, because they're one shots. Like, yeah. I'll grab one of these.
Oh yeah, that's exactly why I plan on grabbing every one of them.
See, oh yeah,
because they're one shots.
No, and you're right too, because I'm also gonna be like, okay, well, I have three of them.
Yep.
I don't care about Soldier Supreme, but I might as well, because I have the other three.
Gotta complete that collection, especially if they do, like, a combined cover. Like, they have variant prints.
Oh, I can't do that. See, and I don't like those combined ones, because they sit in boxes. I mean, they look great, and the overall design looks really cool, but sell that as a poster. Like, I have no way of displaying or storing my comics for those to be relevant to me.
Oh, I actually have, for at least a couple of the comic books that I have signed, I have like framed displays. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually used them yet because I'm not sure in which box I put my signed comic books. and I am too afraid to look. So, yeah, I've got a couple of those displays, and I plan on getting more for like the Hunt for Wolverine books that came out. They have the combined cover, and I can actually hang them all next to each other and make that cool, like, you know, combined issue thing. So, yeah, I like them. Did you look at them, Dalton?
Yeah.
You still think they're dumb?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my God. Why? What is wrong with him?
Like, Arachnite looked neat.
Yeah, he does.
And I like I like Ramos a lot. Like, the guy that did the... I can never say his first name.
Humberto.
That one, yeah. Like, I really like his...
Humberto.
I really like his concept art for it.
I was trying to think of, like, how could this possibly be difficult to say?
So I really like his work, but I don't like these designs.
I think you're silly. Iron Hammer alone and Weapon Hex, they just look so cool.
It's like Mjolnir and Iron Man armor just wrapped into a scythe looking thing, a giant pick.
If this is how we got Weapon H, I'd be so much more pumped about Weapon H.
Yeah, I think I also...
instead they're on like issue 9 or something.
Yeah, it's still ongoing.
I saw that when we were up there on Friday. I was like, oh, look, that's still kicking.
That's still
good
happening.
Good for you.
I am sure that the 13-year-olds love that book.
I mean, and we were joking around, but, like, at the same time, like, my favorite character in Overwatch is Reaper. So, like, I'm a fan of the Edgelord stuff sometimes. Like, every once in a while it'll get its hooks into me. But this and Silk are just, like, this just sounds like bad fan fiction.
Easy. Don't you put Silk with Weapon H.
No, I stand by that. The way, and granted, I haven't read the stories myself, but I've only heard like what the character synopses that you two have given me.
All right,
it just reeks of like why everyone hated that Harry Potter play.
If you look at Weapon H, you know exactly what that is. That is someone that has decided it would be a great idea to combine the two most overpowered characters in Marvel and make one really obnoxiously overpowered character.
You're right. Silk, you just have to find out her backstory to realize why she sucks.
Yeah.
Because she's not overpowered.
No,
she's
just like,
another spider character.
They're terrible for different reasons to me. Like, yeah, like, and I'm honestly way more on board with the Weapon H.
I don't see how. We're just going to move past it.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
We're going to move past it because we're running low on time.
I don't like it. I need to make that clear.
I get that. You made it very clear when you compared it to Weapon H.
No, I'm talking about Weapon H. Oh. I don't like Weapon H. Like, that's the thing where I'm like, I get you're angry at me right now, but I'm not saying that Weapon H is good. I need you to understand that so you don't
fully... But you said it's better than Silk.
I didn't say it was better than Silk. I said they're the same.
That's different.
I've never been so disappointed in him. X-Men Blue and Gold are going to end in September with issue 36.
Time out. That's Dalton treatment.
That one hurt.
Sorry, I got you, and I'm bummed out X-Men Blue's ending, but that was Dalton treatment that Asa got.
I'm honestly surprised that these are both ending because, I mean, I don't know numbers, but maybe I shouldn't be surprised because, like, we're getting back to that kind of borderline oversaturation of X-books.
Yeah, because there for a hot minute, we just had blue and gold, and then they gave us Generations to add to it, which has ended now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we had, like, the solo books, which I don't really count as...
Yeah, and I wouldn't have even counted those, because I mean, like, yeah. X-Team books, but now we're at gold, blue, red.
Yep.
We're getting, there was an X-Classified that was in solicitation.
Yes.
We now know what that's going to be. It's going to be Mr. and Mrs. X, but we won't get into what that actually is because that's a...
Bit of a spoiler.
That's a pretty substantial spoiler for what happened in the most recent issue of...
X-Men Gold.
Gold, number 30, which is the Colossus Kitty Pride wedding.
Yes.
I like that cover art, too.
The cover art's really good. Did you see the variant prints?
Mm-mm.
They did a Colossus and Kitty variant print. They were both really good. I dropped
gold long ago. But yeah, but so, and then on top of, like, now we're getting into, like, X-23 is going to have her book. We have all of the 12 Logan books.
Because those are all going to end in September anyway. Because September is when the new Wolverine book starts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, we're basically ending gold and blue, but we've still, and because in September we still are getting a the Charles Soule X-Men book. I can't think of what it's called right now. It's X-Men something.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm totally
blanking. I cannot remember for the life of me what it's... And we're still getting Weapon X. So we're still getting Weapon X. We're getting the Charles Soule X-Men book, the Wolverine book, and X-Men Red are all still happening in September.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, we only have 4 plus the X-23 with 5. But again, like I said earlier, with like the Jean Grey and Iceman books, I don't really count those. So yeah, we're dropping down to 3 X-Men titles again.
Well, it's versus...
Is it Astonishing X-Men?
Yes, Astonishing X-Men. Okay. That was the Charles Soule book. So yeah, those are the 4 teams we have right now, because the Generation X has ended, I'm pretty sure, or X-Generation, whichever
one. I honestly, like, that doesn't even ring a bell.
That's the X-Men book that's about the new recruits. Like, they're the young X-Men.
Oh, yeah, that's why that got canceled.
Yep. Yeah, just...
They keep trying to make all these new X-Men, but, like, you have good ones.
So many.
You have a bunch of, like... You don't need to bring in Sunspot.
Well, I mean, like...
Like, I'm sorry, Sunspot fans, but, like, Gambit.
Well, Sunspot's also in, like... Isn't he the one doing the...
Pulled that name out of my butt.
Oh, fair enough.
I was, like, 70% sure there was a real X-Man named Sunspot.
There is.
But, like, I'm talking, like, I want my 90s X-Men. And then they have also introduced, like, a handful of really, really good X-Men between then and now. But instead of using, like, any of them, we get, like, 3 of the ones that everybody likes. And then they surround them with a team of 4 people that no one has either heard of or cares about.
Yeah, that's
pretty
average.
And then they get surprised that, like, no one's reading the book because they try to highlight. They're trying. I get what they're doing. It's not working. X-Men has been so mishandled for so long now. Honestly, really bums me out.
A lot of people really liked X-Men Blue or X-Men Gold. They were right about that.
Oh, no. But also look at the rosters.
Yeah.
Of those. Like, those are mostly X-Men people actually like and have liked.
Yeah, because you were getting, like, with X-Men Blue, you got the OG X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the, or 05 as the internet's calling them. And then, yeah, X-Men Gold actually had a pretty stellar roster, too. X-Men Red had, it's basically following that formula, but it's actually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then Astonishing X-Men has, like, that's actually an all-star cast. But that one hasn't... I haven't heard near as many people talking about that one as probably should be.
Charles Soule is taking over issue 13, which is in July.
Of Astonishing?
Yeah.
He's been on Astonishing.
Has he?
Yeah, since issue one.
Granted, the news story that I saw was April.
I mean, he might have stopped doing Astonishing X-Men, but he definitely was doing Astonishing X-Men. I mean, I'm very behind on it now, up to like issue...
Writer Matthew Rosenberg has announced on Twitter that he will take over Astonishing X-Men from writer Charles Soule starting with July 13.
Okay.
So Charles Soule is leaving Astonishing X-Men.
And so goes my interest in Astonishing X-Men.
Rosenberg will be joined on his first arc by artist Greg Land.
And there goes what little bit of little hope.
Colossus, Dazzler, Warpath, Beast, and Havoc.
Beast, the new Dazzler book is out.
With Beast and Havoc being the co-leaders.
Okay, I kind of like that roster.
Oh, see, and it's like, really? You're giving me a book with Havoc as a co-leader? Not knocking Havoc.
I dig Havoc as a side character.
I mean, he's a co-leader with Beast, and I love me some Hank McCoy.
I didn't say anything negative about Beast or Hank McCoy.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, but like, I would be way more interested if you told me that Beast was going to be the leader of the X-Men, of an X-team, not co-leader. Was Scott Summers' brother.
I mean, let's just do it this way. Beast is the leader, and then Havoc is the co-leader.
But then you also...
He's the vice leader.
You're getting paid. Your checks aren't different. They're just, you know, one's just more than the other. but then it's like, all right, Colossus, awesome. And then you immediately lose me with Dazzler and Warpath.
I like Warpath.
I mean, he's fine. But again, it's just like, I look at my roster of X-Men... Of like my first round picks.
Yeah, Warpath is definitely a C-tier.
Especially when there are like, there's a lot of X-Men characters that I care about that, as far as I know, aren't doing anything right now, and they're getting benched for people like Warpath and Dazzler.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, we got about 5 minutes left.
Ooh, we got
and we still got video games to do. All right, so this portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including their social media links, at ps2jshow.com. All right, the Crackdown 3 original co-developer and series creator Dave Jones is no longer on the project. He had been brought on from, or because of his company, Cloud Gene. I think I'm saying that right.
No one knows. It looks real ridiculous.
It's Cloud, G-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Is the spelling for it. But it was bought out by Epic Games. So now Dave Jones is working with Epic instead, including that Cloud system. Now, if you guys remember from when Crackdown 3 was originally talked about, the Cloud system is how the massively super destructible environment was going to be, or is going to work.
Because it was the one that, like, that was why... They announced that Crackdown 3 had to have a persistent internet connection at all times. Because of how destructible the entire city was going to be, they could only process that through
their servers.
Through their servers.
Yeah, you cannot, like, the system can't handle it.
Right.
Because, yeah, and there's no load times. Like, you can go anywhere in the city you want to go. You can go on top of any building that you can see, and you can blow up anything.
As long as you have powerful enough weapons, which you will eventually get.
Right, because that's how Crackdown works.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was one of the big deals. And the reason we haven't, and apparently this is the reason we haven't heard anything about this in a while, including at last E3, they did not talk about the destructible environments.
At all.
And like when Microsoft was asked to comment, they said that they were still going to do it. They still had cloud infrastructure going through Microsoft, but they were being very vague about
Super
it.
Super dodgy.
Yeah,
and you could tell because the interviewer pushed too.
Yeah,
and the guy's like, "Look, we're not talking about that right now."
So yeah, it's something they're still working on, but yeah, losing Dave Jones and Cloud Gene is bad for this project.
Yeah, this does not bode well.
Nope, no, it does not. I mean, I'm
still... Although Fortnite might get real cool.
Yeah,
like
yeah, or like, you know, any of Epic's other various projects,
right?
But anyway, Microsoft is also no longer planning VR for the Xbox. They talked about it a while back, but now they're just kind of focusing their time towards the PC because they want to stick with... Basically, their comment on it was, like, the PR speak was that they want to keep the Xbox with games that you would play on your TV instead of via VR headset.
Good.
Yeah,
I
like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it too, especially with where VR is right now. VR is still not in that spot where I desperately need it. It's at this point like a cool gimmick,
mm-hmm.
a cool, really overpriced gimmick, but still cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nintendo is banning game cards to combat piracy.
Dumb.
No, I mean.
It is very potentially anti-consumer, but it's not dumb. But it is part of the like. An issue that they now are running into if they want to have a system that only runs cartridges.
Yep. Because, and I mean, even outside of cartridges, Nintendo's had a problem with piracy for years.
Yeah.
Especially going back to, like, the DS. It was super easy. You can get something called an R4 card, and you can effectively have the entire DS library on that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And just play whatever you want. Yeah, like, Nintendo has always had a problem with piracy. Like, even the Wii U had a huge problem with piracy. Just because of how they handle like game certificates. And yeah, that's been a problem on the Switch. And now they've got it set up where like individual game cartridges, if Nintendo finds out that certificate for that game cartridge is on the internet anywhere, as in somebody has taken the data off of it and thrown it on the internet for the other people to download and use pirate style. If Nintendo finds that, that certificate gets banned, and that means that cartridge can no longer access any online features.
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
Whenever they start their online play, is there any way for somebody that is really good at hacking things being able to tell what cart is in my system while playing against me? Really?
No.
I mean, that's just one thing. I was like, I don't know how like the carts work and how like what shows up on my online stuff with Switch. Like deep in the data stuff, not like just face, because face value is just going to be like my name and that's it.
Yeah, no, I don't see there being any way for that information being available for anyone else to see.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Especially not like in a console arena. Like if somebody managed to put software on your system, they could then find it.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, but not, I didn't know the exact words to use because I'm not smart.
They wouldn't be able to just like, from the amount of information that you give when you're playing an online game with someone, they couldn't access it. You would have to install something like from them that gave them specific access to things that they would otherwise have no way of accessing.
Yep.
Fair enough.
So you'd basically have to download a virus for them to be able to.
Yep.
Which, okay. It's Nintendo. I mean, people could try it, but it's that thing. So it's like if someone sends you like a link or something on the Switch and you don't know
like
that.
Like how to get every game for free or something like that. Yeah, basically the only way that that's ever going to happen to you is if you were dumb enough to get scammed
right.
And download a bunch of stuff to your system. It's kind of like the people that are like.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Not saying that I would do it, but somebody would.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just like the people that got tricked into debugging their Xboxes. Did you guys ever hear that story?
No.
Yeah.
The Xbox One had a debug mode. And you could enter that debug mode, and you could just basically brick the system from there.
Oh.
And, people were putting guides on the internet for how to effectively flip the Switch to make your Xbox One play all your Xbox 360 games.
Oh, well, that sounds convenient.
And basically people put in the tutorial for bricking your Xbox.
Yeah, I hate people.
It's like the, hey, did you know if your iPhone dies, you can get it up to 100% charge in 30 seconds if you microwave it.
Oh.
It was basically that. Like, yeah, hey,
I hate people.
Get your computer to run a lot faster by, you know, uninstalling System RAM. 32.
Oh, God.
Or my favorite one, like, hey, how do I do this in the game? Alt F4?
Yeah.
Person has left the game.
That's an old, like, online gaming trick.
It's a much meaner version of that. But the Nintendo thing is very worrisome because this essentially potentially kills the secondhand market for Nintendo Switch games.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if someone bought a copy of a game, did some effery with the cart, and then no longer needs it, so then they just take it to GameStop and sell it. The next person who buys Splatoon 2 puts it into their system, tries to log on to the Splatoon 2 servers, and now their account is now banned from any online.
That actually confirmed not the case.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's a lot. So basically then you can't play Splatoon 2 online.
Using that cartridge.
Yeah. So
you can take it back to GameStop, get another copy of Splatoon 2, and you can play that.
But it's a thing where if that becomes, like, if they don't have a way of testing it, then.
Yeah, that's going to happen a lot.
People like here at Gaming Grounds are going to really hate their lives.
Yeah.
Then again, I think we would test it beforehand.
But and that's the thing. So it is a thing where we would have to test it on the store console as long as we know it doesn't mess with, because that was what we were kind of confused on.
Yeah, the first article that I read was very vague about it.
They made it sound like your account, your entire Nintendo ID was going to be blocked from any online features if you do this.
And your console.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, turns out it's just
that one specific cartridge.
Specific cartridge.
Okay, so that's way less.
That is way less of an issue than I had originally thought.
It's still annoying, but it's not as bad.
And it's more annoying on, again, like the side of the
retailer.
The retailer than it is the consumer. Like it's annoying for the consumer, and it's going to discourage pre-owned sales a whole lot because there's a small chance that the game or the cartridge you get won't work.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just annoying. A greater than zero chance. Because honestly, like, I really don't see, especially now that this is a thing, until hackers figure out a way to work around it, I do not see many of those games getting bought, dumped, and then brought back. Because they know they can't do it anymore. We'll have to see. Apparently, I think that update has already gone through. And a bunch of people that had, like, the hacked OS on their Switches, if they went online with a hacked OS, that system got completely banned Ooh. From online.
Yeah. Which is a risky run when you do that. Yeah
no, so. I absolutely do not think Nintendo's a jerk for doing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hacked your hardware. That's a risk you took. Nintendo responded to you hacking your hardware.
Not only hacking your hardware, but then trying to download new OS, new update,
and getting games for free.
Right,
because that was the big part of that's why this is an issue. It's not just people putting a custom OS on their system. They're putting a custom OS that allows them to steal games.
Right.
And yeah, that's bad for everybody.
Which, that's not the part that I'm upset about. I'm strictly upset about the cart thing.
yeah. Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to think they're they're not letting me get. No, that's not my stance. It's
but
just,
knowing that it's not an account-wide, system-wide ban is a lot. That lessens it a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
I agree. All right. So yeah, we need to rapid fire the rest of this here. GameStop, speaking of, has confirmed buyout talks. They are apparently not doing well, mostly because of how prevalent downloading your games has become.
Getting real sick of places that I buy action figures from closing.
See, and that's what I, honestly, that was, it's like, man, it really sucks having, now, if potentially one fewer place to be able to go and just kind of, check out cool nerd stuff.
Yep.
I buy stuff from GameStop all the time, not games. Stuff.
Yeah, used games is 80% of their profit margin, so
I'm hitting that 20 hard.
Well, and the and part of it too is people are becoming more patient. They're waiting for games to go on sale, especially digital sales.
Oh yeah. Because digital sales are really
PlayStation runs a flash sale every other week, it feels like. On top of their big the Steam summer sale and all of this stuff. So it makes sense that the used game market is kind of suffering there. Granted, there was a study I saw on Reddit, the headline was people still prefer physical versus digital games.
What's really bad about this, it's an interesting problem that they're going to have. Most of the people that prefer physical games live in more rural areas where they don't have access to high-speed internet or as high-speed or unlimited internet, mm-hmm. which is a significant portion of the U.S.
Comcast.
Yeah. But those people, their local GameStop doesn't make enough money off of them because they're so spread out that they cannot survive on just those people's sales.
Right.
They also need the people with the high-speed internet that are downloading games instead of coming in to purchase them. The city or the GameStops and stuff like that can afford to stay open because they are making enough money are located in the high-population city areas where almost everybody has high-speed internet and can download games cheaply.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a Catch-22?
So
also, I need GameStop to stay open because I need somewhere to buy games whenever Best Buy kicks me out of the Gamers Club Unlocked. Because once that membership is done, I won't buy games at Best Buy anymore.
Yeah.
When did your membership lapse?
I don't know. Okay. And it might have already. It's been a while since I bought a new game. So
renewed mine 6 months ago.
So I know I can go online and check, and I need to, but I haven't had money for a new purchase in a while.
Yeah.
Because Mandy's hitting up him for Kingdom Hearts 3, the Steelbook one,
mm-hmm.
and if I can get that for not $80, I can get it for cheaper. Me and you might need to be talking.
Yeah, after the show, guys.
Yeah. After the show.
All right, and then Fallout 76 public beta will start early on the Xbox One, and also crossplay is now available for Minecraft between the Xbox and the Nintendo Switch.
And also PC.
And PC. No mobile. PS4.
Yeah, because Sony is still very much digging their heels in of no, I think you can crossplay Minecraft with PS4 and PC. Maybe.
Because I think you can do that with Fortnite.
You can do that with Fortnite, but I don't know about... But I'm not 100% sure on that. But you definitely cannot play cross-play with
Xbox
or Switch. Yeah. Which I love that little Twitter exchange between Minecraft, Nintendo, and Xbox's Twitter accounts.
Oh, yeah.
It's hey, want to go play? Yeah, what do we want to build?
That's fun. It's always fun. Mm-hmm. PlayStations, stay away from me.
Touch me.
That's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Oh, and not this coming Tuesday, but the following, which is pulling up my calendar here. The 3rd, June 3rd, we got another episode of Nerds for Hire.
July 3rd.
July 3rd. Ooh.
Yeah, it's hard. It's worry it well in June.
Anyway, July 3rd. We will be doing our next episode of Nerds for Hire. If you didn't listen to last episode, Joe, check that one out. It was a pretty fun episode, and the required reading was Kingdom Come. We're going to talk about a little about that on July 3rd. So we'll talk to you long before then, but read Kingdom Come. It's a great book. and we'll see you then.